If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
And Carmen, I'm pushing really hard, for daycares to be able to open, and you need financial help to open. You can't just open just straight up. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we go on. I don't want to take too much time at the front end.
I love the magic of hitting buttons. Why can't you just reopen them? I'm not quite understanding that. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's, the hell day is this?
Wednesday.
We made it. It's Wednesday. We're here. Oh, we're halfway through the week, guys. We're going to get through it together. If we have to drag each other across the line, we'll make it. And it is a balmy 63 degrees in Texas. It was 80 here yesterday.
Actually, maybe warmer than that.
I don't know. That's what it says on my watch. My watch, it says 63 degrees, but it could be wrong. So welcome to the show. And we got a lot of info for you today. You'll have another newsletter for you subscribers coming out for you this evening. And some of the things that we're watching right now, of course, you know, obviously still walking with the continued hearings and the continued blah, 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 the nominees. Nobody cares until they're confirmed, right? I mean, they're all left. Some are worse than others. New York Tandon's a freak. That's just, you know, there it is. But also, this prevailing, this whole thing with coronavirus. And so yesterday, I noticed that the judge in my county, in Tarrant County, Texas, Judge Glenn Whitley, he decided, I shall decree you will wear masks until May 23rd?
Yeah, I think so.
May 23rd. Right before Memorial Day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, May 25th.
Sorry, May 25th. I'm deducting days. Now, keep in mind, I have written a piece on him, replete with photos, where Glenn Whitley doesn't wear masks himself. And he wasn't practicing the social distancing. I mean, so I've written stuff about that. But the mask thing, wearing it all the way till May 25th. It's not a law. He's not a lawmaker.
Nope.
Have we invited him on the show?
Yeah.
How many times?
Twice for sure.
Let's just every day, every single day. And I'm going to start doing a count, and I will post this every single day. I do not do this as a gotcha, do I? Have I ever treated a guest rudely?
Never.
I am like the hostess. It is what I do. If I was not in radio, because I am so anal retentive and such a control freak, I would plan people's parties. I would be a party planner. I really would. I don't know why, but that whole industry fascinates me. I'm going to bring the tugboat to shore. So just hold on, Jeff Klingerman. It fascinates me, and I think I would be phenomenal at it because I love controlling things. Or I would have gone into law. I almost went into law. But I ended up going, that's the idealistic liberal, young college liberal Dana won. So we're like, I guess I'll go into media. Nobody ever cared about my degree. But this, we'll invite him every single day. We'll have him on the show. We'll invite him on the show. Like I said, I'm a hostess. I'm never going to treat anyone rudely. It is not a gotcha. Clearly, admittedly, I disagree with Judge Glenn Whitley on this. I don't know anyone who agrees with him. all the way till May 25th wearing masks? Do you want a really girly take on this real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so I've got like a really good, like I have some like really nice glosses, like tinted glosses. Kane's like, oh my gosh, really? He's totally not into this. I've got some really nice tinted glosses and, you know, some lipsticks and stuff. And I just, you know, you can't wear the mask with that. I have a great aunt who spent money on a Chanel Red. It's like the only thing that that woman will splurge on. And I'm pretty sure that she gave extra in tithing because she thought it was a sin to spend that much on a lipstick. She's mad because she can't even wear it out. She got it like right before everything, like right, I think she got it right at the lockdown. And then you had to wear masks going out everywhere. And she's like, I'm not putting this over my face and having it smeared all over my face. And she was of the mindset, she didn't come out and say this explicitly, but she was kind of the mindset that I would almost rather get it than mess up my lipstick. I mean, oh my gosh, there's some people out there clutching their butts. I can hear it. Oh my gosh, Dana, I have no sense of humor at all whatsoever, and I live a literal life. Going to take offense because that's what I yearn for. Yeah. So, we're going to invite him on the show because we are nothing if not good hosts. Like I said, I don't do gotcha stuff. I don't do that. I am a nice person. But clearly, I disagree with him. So Judge Glenn Whitley, and I'm going to tell you some Rona stuff here. Just in my area, he has, it's the May 25th. That is right before Memorial Day, May 25th. And he's got this mask mandate. What if you don't do it? I'm not going to wear it outside. I had some Karen Tammy. That's what I call like a really intensified Karen. And I know women named Karen who should not be named Karen. And I'm sorry that this is what society has done to your name. I'm just the messenger. Stop. So I'm like, I kind of like Tammy Karen better. I will say every Tammy I've ever met has been like that. Let's just say. So I was outside once, and this was, it was actually a fairly warm day. Sun was out. I was on the sidewalk for the love. You know, I was going in. I can't remember. I was running some errand and I didn't have my 6 feet of masks on my face or whatever. But this one woman was like still. And have you seen those things? Have you guys seen these? They're like these little, not little, but they look like giant keys. They're like the size of a little bit longer than your palm. And you're supposed to keep that on your keychain, I guess, and use it to open doors instead of touching it. That, first off, I'm like, why didn't I think of this? Because I am the queen of not touching things. But secondly, I haven't touched a door in public in 10 years. And, oh no, I am like the MacGyver of not touching things in public. If it was an Olympic sport, they would have to stop the competition until I kick the bucket because no one could compete. But they make these. Have you seen them? And they're everywhere now. She had hers like ready to go, had her mask ready to go in a tennis outfit. Sidebar, tennis outfits are not springtime outfits. Particularly if you are over 50, which our Karen Tammy was. I'm just by sight, I'm assuming. So she's out tennis, and I'm like, girl, you were not playing tennis. You just got a blowout. I can tell. I can smell a fresh blowout. Comes out with her tennis outfit. She's got her little thing to open the door and has her mask on. And she was throwing shade at me because I was like, I'm outside in the sun for the love. This stuff kills it. You're not even 20 feet near me. Well, maybe like 15. Throwing me shade. Now, I am trying to, you know, new year, new me, which I say meaninglessly. But I'm like, you're going to make me even not put it on more is what's going to happen. Because when I am pushed, I become immovable. All science, all of it goes out the window. All of it becomes just completely just null and void in my space. I become an immovable object. They have not yet figured it out. They've run tests. They don't know. So I just kind of just looked back blankly. I'm like, I'm not going to be intimidated. I don't get intimidated. I don't get intimidated. I don't get made nervous. I just get, I'll either get mad, or if it's a dog, I either get really happy or I'll get mad because somebody was mean to the dog. So I don't know. Maybe sad too. But she had the thing on ready to go. I'm like, you're not even near a door. Why do you have this out? I don't understand it. What's going to happen is human beings in like several hundred years, we're going to morph and then our hands are going to become like that. Like we're going to have one of those like coming off like an extra digit. Well, they developed these because nobody wanted to touch a door. So they carried these things around with them all the time. Have you seen those things? And why do they make them for keychains? Who carries keys around like that anymore? Do people still? I mean, I remember having to stick my key in the door when I was in high school. But who, no, I don't even think they make those anymore like that, unless you get, you know, vintage. I don't even know who makes them like that. Oh my gosh. All right. So that's, I've noticed this. So now we have this judge in Tarrant County, Glenn Whitley, and we've invited Glenn Whitley onto the show repeatedly because, you know, we would like to talk about this order, right? I just want to know. We'd like to know. Maybe he is privy to some science that we don't know. Curious. Now, I say this right as I read this article. Listen to this. Coronavirus, they did this study. I remember hearing something about this during lockdowns even. Remember when that one ship with all those people that had it was, you know, was found and everyone's like, you got to Clorox out of them surfaces. And then all my friends who hate bleach were like, no, you just put some thieves oil on it. You just rub some thieves on the surfaces. And then go over it with a crystal and it changes it. I love my friends. I'm like, I don't know about that. But so they do tell me if this is old news. So it says coronavirus can survive on clothing for up to 3 days with polyester garments because they're plastic, sustaining the virus the longest, say scientists. De Montfort University added droplets of a model virus onto fabrics, and they say it survives on polyester for 3 days, cotton for 2 days, polycotton for 6 hours. So everyone's going to be paying attention to their tags, Kane. Okay. And they say that researchers advise all healthcare uniforms are washed to an industrial standard. So here are my thoughts. Let me for 1 second pretend to be a conspiracy theorist. They want you naked wearing masks. That's what they want. 6 feet of masks on your face and buck naked. That's what they want. It sounds like it. So I don't care at this point. Do you?
No.
I don't care. I'm done. I'm not doing with the fear mongering stuff. This is going to make people afraid of everything. And apparently, haven't some of the commercials been kind of driven like this too? Yeah. Wasn't there like, what was it, Tide or some, where a kid was like, you can never be too safe spraying something. Right. And I'm like, you're trying to market to me, a germaphobe. I am not going to be susceptible to this. So I don't know. It's now we also have a bill. North Dakota, their house passed a bill banning mandatory face masks. They said their state is not a prison camp. Good for them. Good for them. I'm happy about that. So, but the thing on the clothes, I don't know. I just kind of always assumed. And because I am like a crazy person in a way, in a good way, I always, like whenever I'm out, if I travel, especially if I'm on a plane, I like change before I even walk through my house because, and I'm not going to lie, I may or may not have done that before this. You guys think I'm joking when I tell you that I'm a germaphobe. So I don't know. Okay, sidebar. I know we got to get going. I get really resentful when people act like, oh, are you wearing your mask? And I want to be like, bitch, I wear my mask before you ever did. I get so resentful. I'm like, you're just pretending to be what I've been all my life. I just can't deal. All right, we've got a lot more on the way coming up, including cancel culture. Cherokee Nation wants Jeep to drop Cherokee. And also, apparently, there's a whole bunch of cancel culture stuff. Gran Torino is canceled. The Simpsons are canceled. Everything is canceled. Also, mandatory vaccines. We're going to have that discussion, too, as well. And the latest with Washington, D.C., Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez makes some crazy requests. And the Old school Democrats are going to get mad. Oh, it's going to be all crazy. Cats, dogs living together, mass hysteria. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Ooh, so Tiger Woods had surgery for leg injuries, and what it included compound fracture, which that's the bad one. That's where it's like, you know, horror movie kind of injury. That's a shattered ankle because after he rolled his car. So his injuries on his legs, those are pretty, though the compound fracture is pretty severe. So he's going to obviously have to have some rehab. Also, everybody who lives in and around Lake Travis, caution. I see this every single year. The Lower Colorado River Authority is warning pet owners in the Austin area, do not let your dogs drink from or swim in Lake Travis because animals are becoming sick. They said that they are, they're doing some tests on the water. Usually, what is it like? It's like a, some kind of like a fungus or something that ends up growing in it because the warm water, etc. But every year I see stories of dogs dying, and they go into, they have seizures and respiratory distress and all of this because they swam or drank the water in that lake. So they say, out of an abundance of caution, do not let your dogs near that water in Lake Travis. Just don't. Just do not do it. Also, a judge, this must be that privilege I keep hearing so much about, a judge tossed the DWI and reckless driving charge against Bruce Springsteen because they said, well, he was under the legal limit, so he just has a fine, $500 fine, that's it. That's all he got. Wow. Well, I guess he did pay the cost, didn't he? Stay with us. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Quickly on climate, last week the climate envoy John Kerry said that there are only 9 years left to save the world from the effects of climate change. Does President Biden share that assessment? 9 years.
I don't have a new timeline to give you from here. I can confirm for you, though, that the president agrees with former Secretary Kerry that it's a crisis, that time is of the essence. We need to act quickly, and that's why climate is a key part of his agenda.
What? I don't even know what she said. So, okay. There you go. There you have it. Oh, Jen Psaki. It's not envoy. It's czar, because envoy doesn't sound as fun. Don't. It just does not sound as fun. Yeah, or is authoritarian. Exactly. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and danalash.com. And make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse. Make sure. So coming up, we have a number of things. Cancel culture, We got some all kinds of things. I do have a question. So I just saw this thing, like with the Tiger Woods injuries. I'm not even going to pretend to be a doctor, but it sounds like really, it sounds that sucks really bad. I mean, like he had a compound fracture and all this stuff, and it's bad stuff. But why was it wall-to-wall coverage yesterday on all cable news? All afternoon, all early evening. There's so many things to talk about. You want to know, but when you don't even take commercial break and it is your breaking news and everything is about it. Everything is about it. What?
Yeah. By 3 o'clock Central, we knew everything that we know now about it. Right. So mm-hmm. It's just, I call it laziness. I think they just were lazy and they're like, look, this is content people will click on. This is content people will watch. Let's just stick with this.
It just seemed a little much. You know, I mean, I get it. He's a famous person. But it seemed a little much, wall-to-wall coverage. And what did you say? Like, you were watching, did you say you were watching ESPN or something didn't?
I think Steve had brought that up too, or Rachel did, that all the cable channels that were news channels were talking about Tiger Woods. And you go to ESPN, which is supposed to be talking about sports, would for sure think that Tiger Woods would be
covering
wall-to-wall.
Oh, yeah.
And they only did one story on it, and the rest was about other sports stuff.
Yeah, it just seemed to me like it was a little bit much. The wall-to-wall was a little much, just now. So looking into some of the cancel culture stuff, so we have more cancel culture. I knew this was going to happen. Although karma can sometimes be a fun thing. That was my first thought. I'm not going to lie. Cherokee Nation wants Jeep to stop using their name on SUVs. Chuck Hoskin Jr., principal chief of Cherokee Nation, says it does not honor us by having our name plastered on the side of a car. Now, this has been, I think they've been using it for 45 years now, something like that. Jeep said that it's a tribute. They said our vehicle names in a statement, our vehicle names have been carefully chosen and nurtured over the years to honor and celebrate Native American people for their nobility, prowess, and pride. We are more than ever committed to a respectful and open dialogue. Hoskin told the Wall Street Journal last year that Jeep never asked for permission. Although Jeep, they said that he told the Detroit Free Press that they're not interested in making a deal with the automaker. They said our proud name should not be a corporate marketing tool. And that's... So I am made of responses on this. Where to start? So first thing, as it relates to mascots and things of that nature, people understand how tributes and mascots work, right? So the schools I went to were the Warriors, the Chiefs, and the Braves. It was the Braves in elementary. It was the Chiefs, weirdly, in junior high. And it was the Warriors in high school. And it was not done as a mockery. It's like when people are looking for mascots, like an avatar, they're looking for the fiercest, coolest, most buck-kickingest thing that they can think of. And it's a symbol of reverence. I mean, the people are very reverent towards it. No one sits there and... We had this conversation, too, about some of the worst mascots. Nobody sits there and is like, what's the goofiest, silliest, weakest thing that I can think of for our mascot? Nobody does that. You're not going to have, the Washington douchebags. You know, you're just not going to have that. You know what I mean? It's just not... You're not going to have the New Jersey Kittens. Not going to happen. See what I'm saying?
Who would win between those two teams? Who would win between those two teams, please?
Kittens and the douchebags?
I don't know. Kittens versus douchebags. I don't know. But it's like that's the logic and the psychology that goes into the choice for these mascots. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think it gets a little bit more complicated with Cherokee Nation. And, you know, I say this, I have ancestry. I don't claim to be anything other than just a white American. But I have ancestry and we have some Dawes rolls. We have Dawes numbers. But everyone not kind of knows the history of Cherokee Nation, right? They kind of got it. There's some controversy that was made just recently because of black freedmen in Cherokee Nation that were expelled from membership and they were excluded from membership, even though they had already been included. And so now there's all these accusations of racism, etc. Secondly, Cherokee Nation, not everybody, but some had slaves in Georgia. They had slaves. They were slave owners. And their slaves marched with them in certain instances on the trail of genocide. So it gets a little bit more complicated than that. So I'm just thinking, you know, maybe, just maybe, everybody quit pointing fingers and slow thy roll just a little bit. You know, would you be offended, Kane, if there was like a sports team that was like, we're going to call ourselves the Canes? That's like, it's a compliment,
no.
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, I'd be like, wow, great. You think I'm powerful enough to name your team after? That's like, thanks.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Why would I be offended?
I'm just, to me, it just, I don't know why, and I don't think, it doesn't sound like Jeep is going to take a knee or anything. But that it does seem, like I said, it does seem, you know, kind of odd because they, the way that they do membership, because some membership in nations, they go by what they call blood quantum and all this other stuff, and some don't. It's just, it gets very complicated, and I don't want to get in the weeds with stuff, but I do think that maybe probably some of those activists are open borders activists, ironically. I do think that the Black Lives Matter, I don't want to say, I guess, structure and approach to activism is also something that I think others want to replicate because they view that as being successful. Now, I was reading, there were a couple of things on this. They were talking about Jeep, you know, should say whether or not Jeep should change their name, at least of that line. I had a Jeep Cherokee at one point, Jeep Grand Cherokee. So I just, there's so many things to focus on, but you can't just go after Jeep though, because what do you have? The Pontiac Aztec. You have, I mean, I didn't realize, by the way, that all of these cars that were just named after all this, I mean, there's a lot. Apparently isn't Cadillac, like LaSalle, DeSoto, Cadillac, Pontiac Aztec, all, I mean, there's a lot. So, yeah, can you ask, are the Cowboys offended by the Dallas football team?
Yeah.
Fighting Cowboys. Irish. We don't always fight.
Right, and see, Irish people aren't even upset at that.
I don't care.
They don't care.
The portion of me that is Irish is like, yep, that's right.
Yeah,
do
we
it.
Fight.
Yeah, and we want that reinforced, in fact.
Right.
We want that reinforced. No, that's a stereotype that we would like. I don't know. Gosh, everybody's so over the top with stuff. Also, a couple of other things to get to that I want to make sure we don't miss, at least for this hour, because we're talking about all the cancel culture stuff. So The Simpsons, Harry Shearer, I think I mentioned this in a headline yesterday. He does a lot of the voices on The Simpsons, and he also does Dr. Hibbert. And so he, according to the rap, Harry Shearer, who is white, will no longer voice the character of Dr. Hibbert, who is black. So he's going to be replaced by Kevin Michael Richardson. Now, I think Shearer is going to be doing some of the other voices, but I guess the new rule is that if you're white, you can only do white, you can only voice white characters, and if you're black, you can only voice black characters. Right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't there like a Disney movie? Or what, there's something that's like coming up, or like the Anne Boleyn movie where there's a black actress playing Anne Boleyn, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't even care. But going by this logic, then you're supposed to care or something, and you should.
You should want to cancel it.
Yeah. So I just, people are wanting, they're pushing this like cultural segregation. Harry Shearer is a fantastic voice actor. Nobody sees you when you're doing voiceovers. No one even knows. That's the whole thing. You are supposed to be able to be convincing with your voice. And quite frankly, do black voices have a specific tonality? I don't think so. There's no like black vocal tonality. Do you know what I mean? No, there's no, someone could go, well, you know, Barry White had a deep voice. Well, I can point to you all kinds of white singers that have deep voices. There's no black tonality or white tonality. I mean, that's, you know, one of the cool things about voice work. So is that going to matter anything? Does that, what does that fix? Does it fix anything?
No.
So, and apparently he was just, I guess he, I don't know if they, he was dealing with pressure or whatever behind the scenes, but this was something that he just, I did himself. And this is after Hank Azaria said he wasn't going to do Apu anymore. And then this one might be a little bit longer, so we might have to save this, but I'll give you a heads up on it. So there was a professor who, and this is this like the second time that we've heard, third time that I've heard a story like this. He was giving an anecdote in class. So apparently the discussion was, it was this professor at Pacific University in Oregon, and Richard Paxton. He's a professor of education at the university, and he told an anecdote during class where he said that he was illustrating the psychological schema theory of how the mind works, and that it develops through a process of assimilation and accommodation. And he was, you know, talking about gender theory and how humans distinguish between male and female. And so he was, you know, he was discussing impersonators and everything else. And he said that he had gone into a club, like a jazz bar in New Orleans, and that it said, y'all come in, world's best female impersonators. And he said that our attitudes change, our schemas were put in disequilibrium. A few nervous comments were exchanged, and we decided to go somewhere else. And he was using this as an anecdote because he was talking about human behavior and conditioning and everything else. And so he was accused by a student. Apparently, he's used this anecdote before without an incident, but he was accused by a student of transphobia. And so this guy ended up getting fired over this. He gave an anecdote. A student said it was transphobic, and the school told him, you got to go because, or we're going to have this, like, you know, reputation ruining Title IX inquisition. Oh. I thought colleges were the place where you could freely discuss and exchange ideas.
Used to be.
Right?
Used to be.
Huh. Wow. All right. We have a lot more in store. We have more cancel culture stuff as well. And then also coming up in the show, we'll get into what how Texas would look on a national scale when it comes to green energy. I have some stuff on that, including energy. You should hear the story about this guy who had his utility bills on auto pay and he got his savings wiped out. You should hear about this. Yeah, we'll have that story coming up. In Wisconsin, this little girl got in trouble because she was selling homemade macarons. People are ridiculous. I'm so done with this, everything. And then Biden is looking, he's going to have a gun control push. It's not going to be how you think it's going to be. He's going to try to do an end run around Congress and as much regulation as he can with his pen and paper. That's what he's going to do. And I'm going to tell you what he's going to be targeting first. So we have a lot of other stuff on the way, and you don't want to miss a single second of it. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and her freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com.
It's the Dana Show.
Let's just play air guitar with Elastica.
Yeah.
I can actually play the song because it's a lot of power chords. Yeah, you play air drums. DanaLash.com. We almost forgot where we were for a second. Can I show you guys the mail truck? Are these the new mail trucks? For those of you watching the simulcast, for those of you who are listening and you can't see the photo, let me explain to you. So, remember when we would draw vehicles in school? You know how they all had a certain feel? Like the tops were huge and the windshield was enormous, right? So that's, we all designed this mail truck and we didn't even know it. So Postal Service awarded a contract to replace decades-old vehicle fleet. It's $482 million. Jeez. And it's going to be the next generation, blah, 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 long life, blah, 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 blah. Are they going to be electric? Like, what are they? They look ridiculous. I think that they should maybe ask the drivers what they would like to drive. I had one postal worker telling me yesterday, I would just love some air conditioning and a place to set my phone. So, you know, I can play, you know, maybe and play some music I want to listen to. It'd be great. Why not maybe have that? But no, they stole our designs, guys, from when we were in school. Where's our compensation? They're going to spend billions of dollars on this. You do really eliminate a lot of overhead when you allow children to design the cars, you know. I will say that. Like, you know, a lot of R&D, a lot of that expense is just right out of the way. So, I can't, right? I mean, I'm not wrong here. That's exactly what they look like. So, they're going to have, some are going to have fuel-efficient internal combustion engines. Some will be entirely electric and powered by fairy dust. We'll see. I don't know. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Now, critics say my plan is too big, that it costs $1.9 trillion. So that's too much. Well, let me ask them, what would they have me cut? What would they have me leave out?
Raise his hand.
Most of it?
Anything that has to do with sending billions to the National Endowment for the Arts or sending money overseas or maybe perhaps bailing out Amtrak or bailing out some of the pensions from other states where they were run horribly and already in the red, but like years before the lockdown even happened. I mean, I could start there. Do you want me to spend the rest of the time going over this 5,000-page bill that they had to wheel in a two-stack dolly? Because I'm happy to do that.
What you just mentioned was over $500 billion.
Yeah, right there. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, everybody. And we're going to talk here about because Biden's looking at 2A. I have to say, though, do you realize that there is another political pillow on the market? I have to be careful because in Southern Missouri, I always say pillow. And people, I was talking to a friend, a British friend of mine over the weekend, and she had no idea what the hell I was saying because I said warsh, and then later on I said pillow. And she was like, what is that? What does that mean? And her husband was like, no, it's just, this is just like, it's just an accent, that's all. And then when I say wash, it sounds stupid. Wash. I just can't. Anyway, so I'll be very careful here. So you know how there was one, one Parkland teenager came up with a pillow for some reason. And then there's another company coming out with a liberal pillow. So it's a pillow fight. Like literally there, I pull this up. Let me just read to you this email. There's a new liberal pillow company in town, and they just sold 3 months of orders in hours. I want to introduce you to Fresh Pillow. It was developed by a licensed massage therapist. It's a family-owned brand, and blah, blah, blah. They're going up against other... I love the lack of grammar. They're going up against other pillow brand by sharing their liberal and social political views. What? I don't, like, just make a, who gives a crap what your pillow believes? Who sits there on the edge of their bed and they're like, I wonder what my, I mean, this is like classic Portlandia. I wonder what my pillow believes. I wonder, like, what is it made with? It's the liberal pillow. We spent 10 years and $15 billion in taxpayer money developing this. It's filled with cushy chunks of privilege. Can you imagine what the conversation is going to be like in the future? You're going to have
already.
Hey, Grandpa, what was it? What was it like? You know, when you what was it like when you were a kid? Well, my grandfather went and fought World War II, and your father apparently is having a pillow fight. That's your generation. We've gone from that to this. It's a pillow battle. I don't believe that they sold 3 months of orders. Who sits here and buys a pillow? I just like want one that works.
Yeah, and why would you say 3 months of orders?
Why is it pillows? I'm going to change the world. How are you going to change the world with pillows?
I guess they can't make a white pillow then. Because if it's a liberal pillow, you can't. I mean, it's about being less white these days. So
be less white.
Right. So I imagine they wouldn't have a white pillow as an option.
I can't believe that that's a sale. That's a pitch. Well, we're communists, so here's our commie pillow. It's filled with the shavings of dead Karl Marx's beard. Scented with his Marxist BO. You know he never worked, right? Because he never did. Just your daily reminder that Karl Marx was a fat, slobby, disgusting, smelly, lazy, anti-Semitic, racist, misogynistic, completely unmotivated douchebag who never earned a dollar a day in his life, and he drained his mother's account and lived off the donations and handouts of friends. It's your daily reminder. There you go. We're going to record that and put the NBC shooting star thing with it and play it daily, because I feel like you need to be reminded daily. Yeah, I don't know why people are choosing that this is going to be their motive. Because they think they're owning, we're going to own the cons with pillows. Help us own the cons. Like, that's not what Mike Lindell did when he came out. He was just like, I'm going to make a pillow.
A good one.
Yeah. He's like, it's not going to be a conservative pillow. It's just a pillow.
I spent 10 years on that damn thing.
And no taxpayer dollars. Jiminy. So I feel like there's room in the market for, like, you know, the blank off pillow or something, you know? And it's just filled with concrete chunks. Right? Do you like a firm pillow? Who gives a crap what you like? This is concrete chunks in a bag.
Comes with hammer and sickle.
No, it's the blank off pillow. I was going to say unwoke, but I really like something more aggressive. Right? instead of lullabies at night, the concrete chunks in the pillow, there's also going to be a music box device in there that's just going to play for you the sound of your parents crying over your failure in life. It's the unwoke blank off pillow.
I can't say I'm a fan of those liberal pillows.
No, that one's not the liberal pillow. That one's just like the Red Foreman pillow. See, we just need to come out. The Red Foreman pillow is literally the shape of a foot and a butt.
Sounds comfortable.
Just isolate that. I want that to be the review. Sounds comfortable. Oh my gosh. But for real though, like I don't, pillows. That's the thing that we're going to own the cons. It's pillows. I do like the concrete chunks in a bag. I could make this fun of this for the rest of the show. I know we got to get moving on for some things, but it's so ridiculous. They actually have an account. It's literally like they have a Twitter account. Oh my gosh. Why? Why are they doing this? So it's going to be two economies. What pillow brand do you have? Well, I have this pillow. Well, I have the liberal woke good pillow. Yeah, well, I have the blank off pillow. You can't classify me. All right, so I saw this piece over at Politico. I talked about this on Fox last night as well. The decisions that the White House is weighing as it looks at a number of gun safety proposals. Last week, they met with a number of Bloomberg-funded anti-gun groups. And some of these anti-gun activists are mad because Biden's been in the office for 1 month and he doesn't have a firm timeline or specifics about its plan to ban guns. They've been busy trying to impeach someone who isn't even like actually technically constitutionally impeachable yet because he's not in office. Stop. And also they had to take pictures of their dogs and stick decorations in their yard. I saved that where it says like caring and stuff. I'm going to use that on the newsletter and the newsletter gratuitously. So Biden is not going to be able to get a lot of things passed in Congress. He does not have the numbers in the Senate. When you think back to Joe Manchin's bill, remember Manchin-Toomey, which was an expansion in the background check system without actually improving the background check system? That only received like 54 votes. There's no way Democrats would have to get 10 Republicans to go along with them in the Senate in order to get something like this passed. You may get one or two Republicans, but you're not going to get what you need. So he is going to, at least where it concerns gun control, the push is going to be from his pen. He's going to use as much executive authority as possible. Now, one of the things that some of the potentials that I think that he's going to take a look at, remember the fight with the ATF over they were trying to classify 80% lowers as like an actual firearm. And if you don't know what that is, that's just like a piece of the gun that sits right above the pistol grip. And they were trying to, I mean, when you order them, they also call them blanks because they're like unmilled and unmachined. They literally can't do anything except be a paperweight. You can drop it on somebody's foot and that'll, you know, may hurt them. Probably because some of them are aluminum, so it's really lightweight. but I'm not saying assault people with it, just by the way, for the people who read with pictures. But there's been effort to politicize the definition of this by itself as a firearm. Now, when they went and they raided, what was it, that Polymer 80? When they went and raided that company, they were trying to say that them selling kits that include these lowers, that this was that constitutes like a full functioning firearm, which it doesn't. And this, the crazy thing about this is these are already regulated. It's 18 USC 922-0. That's the statute. It's already regulated by federal law in terms of manufacturing as a hobbyist your firearm at home, because he's focusing on ghost guns is what he's focusing on. And ghost gun is a stupid term made up by people who, I don't know. I don't know why they call them ghost guns. I don't know why anyone would, because it's not a ghost gun. You are free to, as a hobbyist or an enthusiast, you can make a firearm by yourself at home. You can get parts in and you can make a firearm by yourself. That's fine. If you sell it later on, you have to serialize it. And you are prohibited according to, I think it's 18 USC 922-0. I'll double check. But you're prohibited from making it with the sole motivation of selling it. And it lays it all out in this. And I mean, it's already regulated. And furthermore, when you're making these, it's 18 USC 922-0. So I was right. When you're making these, you even have to include like a percentage of metal in them so that they are detectable. Everything that you think that there isn't a law about, there is. It is federally regulated in some way. So when people are when people are saying that these are ghost guns, that what they're saying is they don't believe that you should have the ability to even make anything at home. And I keep hearing this manufactured, you know, these manufactured claims about crimes committed with ghost guns, but there isn't enough data out there to support such a claim. And I would know because I've literally written a book on it. And I look at the uniform crime reports that break down what was used, and I've read the surveys where they talk to criminals about where they get their guns. You can ban people from receiving and getting 80% lowers. You're not going to stop criminals from getting guns. The hell does that do to stop a criminal from getting a gun? What gun law has prevented a criminal from getting a gun illegally? None, because they're criminals. Golly. But I think Biden is going, I think that he will try to do this in a regulatory executive order fashion. So I think they'll target ghost guns first. I think they'll make it, even though, again, we have federal law on this, I think they'll make it, well, they'll try to define and make it to where 80% lowers are something you can't get it unless you're a federal firearms licensee, et cetera, et cetera. Because there's anything that they would try to do that would be considered a constitutional change that is absent the amendment process, that's going to get litigated, and there is no chance in hell that that's going to stand up to legal scrutiny. Zero chance. So he's got to do as much as possible executive order wise, and even then the enforcement of that is still something that could be litigated, because this is all constitutionally protected. You don't have to like it, but you know, you're not required. You're, whether or not you personally like something, no, freedom doesn't give a rat's ass if you like it or not. I mean, that's just the way it is. You either like freedom or you don't. And the double-edged sword of freedom is that sometimes people do things you dislike. And the answer to stopping bad things that people choose to do isn't by making good people bigger targets. It's by making sure they're equipped to be able to resist evil and push back against bad things when they happen to them. So I think that's how he's going to target it. And I mean, really, I know that there's and we'll be talking more about this. I wrote about Marco Rubio's proposal. That one, I think, might get some steam. Rubio's laying kind of low on it for now, but we'll talk more about it. We got a lot more on the way coming up, including Democrats actually like actively pushing censorship. Legitimate censorship. So we're going to talk about that here coming up as well. And we also have more cancel culture. Now they're going after Gran Torino. Legitimately, they really are.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
A 105-year-old lady, she survived in New Jersey. She beat coronavirus, 105 years old, and she credited... Lucia DeClercq credited gin-soaked raisins. And she's pictured eating some of them. She says, prayer, no junk food, and fill a jar 9 raisins a day after it sits for 9 days.
Golden raisins.
Golden raisins. Gin-soaked raisins. That sounds kind of amazing. Everyone's thinking about this now. So I don't know if you guys watch this, but I was watching that Hotel Cecil. The Cecil Hotel in LA. Apparently, it could reopen this year after that Netflix documentary, but who would actually want to stay there and drink the water or shower in the water? I don't know. Just saying. We have a lot more on the way. Stay with us. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase. Too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the end point here? Because the end point is supposed to be living a normal life
And that does not mean after vaccinations and after, as Dr. McCary of the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health pointed out, there's a large number, in fact, probably 10 times the number of documented cases of Americans who actually have had the infection. So we're talking about a huge percentage of people that have immunity from either the infection and now the vaccine. The point of this is to stop people from dying and lead a normal life.
That's that Dr. Scott Atlas, who I think everybody hated after he started saying things that they didn't like. True. Yeah, they were true. So, but still, I think he does raise a really good point in that, you know, we're reaching herd immunity, but if we did, would we be told? I hate asking that, but still, it's true. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. There's a few more days to take advantage of that discount. Subscribe to a year to Chapter and Verse, my newsletter. You get my radio prep. You get deep dives on issues. There's like a frillion word. Actually, it's going to have to be a series because it's too long of gun control stuff, looking at different ways that you could see that happen in the next 4 years. So make sure you go and subscribe because the discount ends on the 28th. And it's like, it's literally, you know, like $6 less than a month. So great deal. All right. So a few things that I want to make sure that we get into as well. We were talking about the ghost gun situation. Here's something we're going to get into some of the tech stuff too. And I want to, some of the Republican fighting. I saw NRSC Chair Rick Scott, he sent a memo saying the GOP civil war is canceled. I wanted to play audio soundbite 21 because Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney. Now, remember, AOC just is proposing like a total abolishment of ICE and all kinds of stuff. And Chuck Schumer, it looks like he's... I don't know. It's very weird construct here. Do they go after AOC really hard in New York? Does she have the energy to primary somebody like Schumer or anything like that? Who knows? But she is causing a headache, not just her, but all of the socialists that are admitted socialists within the Democratic Socialist Party. There's not as much attention paid to that, which I think the schism between those two entities of that same party, it's a lot bigger than what we see on the right. But, you know, it has to do with Trump, so the media is all over it. Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney were asked about whether or not Trump should speak at CPAC, which is this end of this week. He's speaking there on Sunday. Listen to this audio.
Do you believe President Trump should be speaking, or former President Trump should be speaking at CPAC this weekend?
Yes, he should.
Congresswoman Cheney?
That's up to CPAC. I've been clear my views about President Trump and the extent to which following January 6th, I don't believe that he should be playing a role in the future of the party or the country.
Man, Liz Cheney is just doubling and tripling down. She walks into this. She walks into it. Now, there are a lot of people mad at Liz Cheney over her remarks there. She can have her opinion. Fine. But see, it's the voters that determine who gets to make policy and lead the party. Voters, I mean, you can do whatever you want within the power play of the Republican Party. You guys can do all your power jockeying. You can do all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, whatever you put out there, voters can accept or reject. It's just all there is to it. But she, I think, is not doing any favors for herself. I don't have a dog in the power jockeying fight. I really don't. That's what this is about. She wants to be House Speaker someday, but she's got to get around Kevin McCarthy first. And I sometimes wonder if her positions aren't purposefully as much of a contrast to what he says as possible so that she can set herself apart. And that's part of her strategy. But I don't think that you're not going to be able to have unity in that when you're pushing that kind of stuff. It makes it a little bit, at least within the Republican Party, it makes it a little bit difficult. A little bit. All right. Joe Biden is expected to visit Texas.
Why?
Friday.
Why?
I think he's going to Houston first, right? I think it's, yeah, I think he's going to, which I don't know why he would go to Houston first. He's going to Houston Friday. They got some snow in that, but I think it melted a lot faster. He's going to Texas on Friday and traveling to Houston. Not sure why he's going now because all the snow's gone. What is he going to look at? The hell's he going to look at? Did he just, did someone tell him Texas is a state? Did they let him know? Like, don't forget. He said he's eager to go and show his support. So on the plane, you're going to fly to Houston for a, you know, because you care about climate change. So you're going to fly to Houston to do what exactly?
This is for photo op only. This, there's nothing.
I was told reliably by the press that photo ops were bad, particularly if they are done by someone whose name rhymes with Schmedmruz. I was told that these were bad. So what the hell is he going for? I mean, the snow is gone. Hell, we've already had to turn on our ACs. It's been, I mean, a week.
That's true.
They get mad if Trump doesn't go down in, somewhere in the middle of a tornado. So I'm not quite sure what the, I don't know what he's going to go look at. I'm just not quite sure. He's going to go stand down and be like, yeah, so the snow was where? Can you point to me where the snow was?
They want to continue the optic that Texas can't handle itself in regards to the grid. We understand what happened. We understand what's going on. We're in control of our own grid. We're going to take care of it. The federal government has zero to do with it. So this is literally them trying to fulfill the narrative and the optics that the media has been pushing.
Is he going to go hand out water or something? Even though, like, we all the running water, not for everybody, but most people, majority is back on. I just don't understand the point of this. And then some of the board members on ERCOT, that grid, all the people who don't live in Texas that were on the board of Texas, that managing Texas's grid, they're out. They've resigned. So I don't, Jen Psaki had said on ABC's This Week that he's eager to go down to Texas and show his support. He's also very mindful of the fact that it's not a light footprint for a president to travel to a disaster area.
Disaster area?
Well, they declared him because, yeah. FEMA sent generators, blankets, and meals and water amid widespread power outages. And I don't know what leaders he's going to meet. I don't, you know, exactly know how that, but I just think that if he was going to go and do something, it would have been a little bit earlier, because at this point, even if it was Trump coming, it, what would be the point at this stage? I'm not quite sure what he's, what is he going to do? Is he going to bippity boppity boo a spell on the state to prevent ice from forming on the surface again? I don't know. Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? This is where the snow was. So you're telling me the ice was on the sidewalk like this. Oh, yeah. So what is ice like? Well, it's clear and it can be slippery when you walk on it. Wow. Yeah. What makes it go away? The heat and some salt to dissolve it. Wow. Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine what this is going to look like, how that conversation is going to go. Oh, man. So That's where we are. Goodness. Now, regulatory. Listen to this. This is in Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, Beto's going to be there. Is Beto going to... Kane just reminded me of this. Hold up. Is Beto going to, like, we're going to... Hell yes, we're going to take your guns. That's, like, the only thing that people know him for, that and drunk driving. So I don't... Say it again, Beto. Hell yes, we're going to take your guns. It's like if Beavis grew up. Wisconsin home bakers are suing the state over restrictions for homemade foods. Now listen to this. So a 15-year-old girl, Ellie Boehm, she started experimenting with new baking recipes while everybody was like at home during lockdown. And so she started making macarons. And those are the really good like French cookies. They can be a little weird to make. They're temperamental. But they're so good and they're gluten free. So she started, well, at least some most recipes are. So she had the idea to turn her baking project into a business. And so she called it Miss E's Sweet Treats. she got requests to sell the macarons after she made them for her birthday party. And her mother, Colleen, said she felt confident that her daughter's business was allowed under a state licensing exemption for homemade baked goods. And then she got an email from the executive director of the Wisconsin Bakers Association, who said, what your daughter's doing is illegal. So she joined the Wisconsin Cottage Food Association, which is suing the Department of Agriculture over restrictions on the sale of homemade baked goods. Why the hell do we have to have all these regulations? This is so stupid. In 2017, a Lafayette County judge ruled in favor of home bakers, saying that the restrictions were unconstitutional and primarily served business interests instead of public health concerns. True. They said that businesses that, some people are just outright absolutely bullied too. And the guidance goes, well, the licensing exemption applies only to flour-based and baked goods. So, you know, that definition is any place that makes like bread and crackers and pasta or pies or any food product for which the flour or meal is the principal ingredient. But they said because she used eggs and in some instances heavy cream, no, they can't. Who gives a rat's ass? Government does not have, no, who supports a government that's going to sit there? Well, let's see. Did you use heavy cream to make your micromanagement to the nth degree? No, you don't need a government to tell you what you can and can't eat, right?
Thank you.
Do we have a government? Look, proof. You drop something on the floor. Mm-hmm. Do you eat it?
5 second rule.
But it also, where is the floor?
Yeah, you're right. It is conditional.
Say that you drop it in your on your kitchen floor, your own kitchen floor. That's one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 second rule.
I'm say cool. You drop your food item. I don't know why.
On the floor of a barbershop.
Or, you know, in, I don't know, maybe an airport terminal.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's gone.
See, there you go. But you don't, there's not a government regulation that needs to stipulate this for us because we have a thing called a brain. Most of us do. And common sense, again, most of us do.
My brain, my choice.
Right. Why do you, if you want to buy sushi from the side of a road in August, you can be stupid and you can do that. That's your right. That's your right. If you want to sell it like that, you can. If you want to sell macarons, you should be able to sell macarons. If you want to buy macarons from someone, from a 15-year-old who made them in her kitchen, you should be able to do that. This is, in so many instances, the regulatory state acting on behalf of certain groups who are doing this only for their best interests and not in the interest of public safety. This is like when they had that in Missouri. One of my friends, her sisters, was affected by this. The hair braiders, right? In Missouri, African hair braiding. And they were trying to say, and from some of what I heard, there was some lobbying efforts involved. But they did not like these hair braiders who had braided hair, you know, for years. And they thought that they should have to be licensed in order to braid hair. Even though this was literally the only thing that they did, they never used chemicals, they didn't cut hair, they didn't do anything, they just braid hair. It's all they do. And they were trying to get the state to come down on these braiders, these women who braided hair, and force them to go through very expensive licensing requirements and train for things that had to do with services they weren't even offering. And ultimately, they prevailed. But this is what I'm talking about. There's no reason for that kind of government regulatory overreach. Like I said, if you wanted to go buy, you know, meat, roadkill. Hey, I got this possum over here on the side of the road. Y'all want some delicious possum meat? I can't believe I just said that. Possum meat. That sounds bad. It also sounds like a banjo cover band of all banjos only.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. So, this is a crazy story. NBC2, Florida Man sentenced to 4 years in organic seed fraud case.
4 years.
He was accused. This Kent Dwayne Anderson of Bradenton, Florida, was accused of using his South Dakota businesses to defraud wholesale seed distributors out of millions of dollars. Oh, well, there, so it was defrauding. It wasn't because he was lying about, I guess, what whether his seeds were organic or not. I don't know. He was indicted. He bought $46 million of non-organic seed and sold it as organic. And he made for about $71 million, and then he bought a yacht, a Florida home, jewelry, vehicles, and land in South Dakota. Oh, man. I would like a mansion and a yacht. I didn't know that was an actual crime that one could commit. By selling something. Well, I guess, you know, false advertising, but okay. Yeah, I am not going to read this story because that guy did something gross. But I will read this one. This is NBC, too. It's funny, but like the crime that he was committing that got the cops called him in the first place, it was a self-serving kind of crime, if you get my drift. And then he ended up fighting with everybody when the cops arrived. Just gross. A drunk Florida man was arrested for DUI and admits, quote, "Damn, I'm buzzed." Charlotte County, Florida man was arrested for DUI after leaving the White Elephant Bar. His name is not Bruce Springsteen. A Charlotte County deputy pulled over a tan Lincoln Town Car, guys. Whoa. Woo! Over for careless driving. When the deputy, this is Monday, when the deputy asked the driver for his license, Charles Kinsel handed over his credit card instead. The deputy goes, "Well, this isn't your license. Can I have your license?" And he goes, "See, I told you that's it." And then he was able to produce his license. He told the deputy he only had 4 rum drinks at the White Elephant Bar per the arrest record. And on the way to jail, Kinsel says, "Damn, I'm buzzed." And said later, "I shouldn't have been driving after drinking. Do you forgive me?" His driver's license was surrendered. Well, at least he seems like a nice fella. I mean, don't drink and drive, but, you know, he didn't seem like a bad dude. He didn't fight with the cops like that one. This one guy in the story did that I can't read, but oh my gosh. We have more in store coming up, folks, to give you a lay of the land. Media misinformation and targeting cable news. Democrats actively pushing for censorship. Stick with us.
Thank you, Jack. We spoke yesterday about immigration and this facility, HHS facility in Carrizo Springs, Texas, for migrant children. And you said it is not kids in cages. We've seen some photos now of containers. Is there a better description? Is it kids in containers instead of kids in cages? What is the White House's description of this facility?
Well, let me give a broader description of what's happening here. We have a number of unaccompanied minors, children, who are coming into the country without their families. What we are not doing, what the last administration did, was separate those kids, rip them from the arms of their parents at the border. We are not doing that. That is.
But how do we know, first off?
Unaccompanied.
And how, yeah, unaccompanied. That's a great question. Go ahead, Kane. You're like spitting mad.
I am. I'm pissed. Because, look, if they're unaccompanied, then that means
where are their parents not, to rip
yeah,
them
we're not
from anyway.
Ripping them from anyone.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. It's up. It says subscribe up on the website. So, a couple of things. Did you know that the facilities there in Carrizo Springs are the exact same facilities exactly that were used when the Trump administration ran it for 1 month and shut it down? And these were the exact same facilities that Barack Obama built. Obama-Biden built. They're, I mean, are those bars or are those air conditioning vents on the side of those storage units? It's a storage unit. They're storage units. I don't know if those are those bars or is that a vent? I want to be fair. It looks like it's a vent because it looks like there's an AC stuck in it. I don't know. Or there's at least power. They each have individual power.
Well, the windows look like jail bars, but the back of them look like those AC units are like.
Yeah, so that makes me think it's just a big vent.
Maybe.
Right?
A big vent you
can't. Do you really think that's a jail bar window?
Big vent you can't get
out of. Let me be devil's advocate for a minute. Do you think it's a big jail bar window?
I think so. I think that's what it looks like. It looks like the windows are barred up.
What it looks like or what it is.
Huh?
What it looks like or what it is.
It well, if it looks like jail bars and you go up and you hit them with something metal and they sound like jail bars.
But it could be a vent, though, too. The reason I'm saying this is because, and the reason I'm focusing on that is because there are two things that seem to be the exemptions that the left is seizing on as a way to say, oh, but that's different. They're trying to say that, no, those aren't bars, bars. And what you just heard Jen Psaki say to Peter Doocy, well, they're not ripping kids away. Well, that seems a little bit over the top. They didn't rip anyone away. And we've spoken to border chiefs about this, what ended up happening. And now here's the other thing. Democrats are finally having to admit that a lot of these minors that are being brought over, a lot of them are not being brought over by adults that are related to them. And in instances, they don't even know these adults. It would be either the family that pulls them over. Yeah, Rachel thinks it looks like shades. It could be. It could be like little, just, you know, those little vertical blinds.
You think?
Could be. I don't know. But they're all, I don't know if they would all be uniform like that. But, and so they're at least admitting that. The left is admitting that. And that was the same, that was also true under Trump, and it was also true under Obama, because that policy began with Obama. Now, I'm not saying it's not, the reason I'm bringing it up is because it has been disingenuously presented. No one was ripped from parents. What happened is when they would find a group of adults and children, they would briefly separate the children and adults to make sure that these children actually did belong to those adults. And in a lot of instances, what they were discovering was that there were a significant number of adults that actually were not in some instances, they didn't even know the minors, but they would be individuals that parents would hire coyotes or others to get them across the border. And you are setting up a very dangerous situation where kids could be exploited very easily. And I think that we should protect against that. And that's what this was. And it continued to be. That's how it was. They would have kids where they would temporarily hold them before reuniting everyone after they could confirm that these kids were protected. They weren't just going to have, you know, kids come over and just send them out with whatever adult was coming with them. There are some horror stories that border agents and border chiefs have told where kids were, they were being exploited. And, you know, if every child's life matters, isn't that what the left says? Don't you want to prevent that? That's how this whole thing got started. That's how it got started. They didn't do it as like a form of punishment. They didn't do it as a form of psychological terror. They did it to make sure that the adult in the situation was not going to exploit this kid, because they had no manner of knowing whether or not that was going to be the case. And so, I mean, there have been a number of stories about this, and a lot of like border crisis. They've been talking about fighting child exploitation. New York Times has a story, February 27, 2019. Let me pull this up. Thousands of immigrant children where they were coming in. A lot of these kids were talking about how some of the adults that they were coming in with, they were not related to the people that they were coming in with. LA Times has a story about it. USA Today says the U.S.-Mexico border is a hub for child exploitation. It's a major hub. This story, the date of this story, this is like what, from a year and a half ago. In that they said abolishing ICE would worsen child smuggling. This is one of the things AOC has called for, is abolishing ICE. But they said that there was a dramatic spike in adult men traveling with a child. And that's ultimately what kickstarted it under Obama. And it continued under Trump until the outrage, everyone, they had to end it. And then it has been restarted under Biden. I am not against making sure that children are not with a predator. And in order to do that, they try to talk to the children separately, agents, and have this discussion with them. It is being so disingenuously presented that it is actually, I think it's dangerous. And when USA Today, they had a piece up where they were talking about some of these processing centers. And they said the reason that this all began, and they noted it briefly, was the dramatic spike in men traveling with a child. And that made some of the border agents really nervous, especially since they could not prove a familial tie. And in some instances, the minors had said that they didn't even know them. And in fact, there's a Washington Examiner piece. Let me pull this up. What is scary is that this happened enough that it necessitated that policy. They took down lawmakers when they would go down there. They were kind of shocked at the idea that smugglers recycled children to get across the border. I've heard this from border chiefs before. In the Yuma sector in Arizona, they saw the third highest family apprehensions of all nine sectors in 2019. They said some children are sent back to Central America after making it. They're being rented out because these adults know that this is their, that these kids are their ticket in. You come in with a kid, you're guaranteed to stay in. And they would walk up and surrender themselves with kids. When I was down in McAllen, I talked with border agents. And this was under when Barack Obama was still president. And I heard that directly from the head of law enforcement and so many border agents. I mean, they had photos. They would have groups of people that would show up with kids. In one group, there was not a single adult in there that was, they said there's something like six or seven kids in the group. There was not a single adult that was related to that, to any of the children in there. And that's when I first heard about the rent-a-kid. I'm like, wait, that what? Rent-a-kid? And they're like, that's like a business. Because they know if you come up to the border with a kid, it's an immediate ticket in. So that's one. That's the other reason why they were separating adults and children at the border. So you can have people on the left that will present this as they did this as a form of like psychological torture, and they did it just to. That is not why this happened, and I question the motives and the heart of people who present this in such a way. Do you have the best interest of these kids at heart? Because if you did, you would not be so disingenuously presenting this. Now, they've done all kinds of investigations. They found that these facilities were stocked with, you know, soap and water and wipes and everything else. What do you expect? Like a Four Seasons thing? I mean, you're talking about coming across the border and you don't have any documentation. And I mean, people are doing what they can. In fact, they were described as adults using children as, quote, fast passes to permanent entry. That's why this started. And it started under Barack Obama because they realized, oh, well, hell, our open border, quasi-open border policy is creating a real issue here. So they created a problem and they were trying to figure out a way to remedy the exploitation that was a result of this problem. So presenting it like this is disingenuous and it's stupid. And it's disingenuous for the left to have freaked out over this and then try to spin it as something different just because Joe Biden is in office. This is the exact same facility in Texas that was open under Trump and was open under Obama Biden when they built it. The exact same structures. The only thing that's different is the mattresses that came from Wayfair. In what was it, 2017? And Wayfair employees staged a walkout because they were mad that Wayfair was sending mattresses down for these kids to sleep on. I'm not politicizing anything. I'm telling you as it is. Now, as a mother, if I was a border agent, you better damn believe if I would see a bunch of dudes coming in. No offense, dudes, but, you know, I'm a... all the women out there who are moms and women, period, y'all get me. I see a bunch of dudes coming in with little bitty kids. Yes, I am going to separate them for a bit, and I'm going to talk to these kids, and I'm going to find out whether or not, especially when the statistics are terrifying, I'm going to find out whether or not they're related and there's any kind of familial relationship here, or if it's a rent-a-kid or gosh, heaven forbid, worse. So all these people that are spinning this disingenuously are not doing it. Don't say that you're doing that you care about people coming across the border when the security measures that are put into place to protect these kids, when you're using them as political fodder and you're trying to actually undermine them. And don't get mad about it and present it disingenuously when Trump does it and then own up to like what it actually did. When Joe Biden's in office. And then don't lie to us and tell us that you care about these kids. We have a lot more to come. We got third hour. We're rounding out our third hour of broadcast. This story gets me mad because I've been down there. I've seen it, and I can't even imagine. I see when you're a parent, every kid is your kid. There's no way in hell that I'd be letting like some of these dudes that didn't know these kids walk off with them. No way in hell. You would have to physically fight me, and I'm armed, so you wouldn't win.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, dude, this is like pretty creepy. Detailed plans of a military spy plane are leaked on the dark web by hackers after a Canadian manufacturer, Bombardier, refused to pay ransom. Now, it appears to have been released. They said that a forensic analysis revealed that personal and other confidential information about employees that was compromised. It's called a CLOP, CLOPsite, launched in March 2020 to publish data stolen from non-paying victims. See, this is like a whole other thing that, I mean, are we prepared to deal with that? As, you know, in terms of national security? I got questions. It's kind of a, maybe we should focus on that instead of Congress like wanting to shut down cable news. I don't know, which is a topic we're going to discuss here still. All right, moving on here. We're going to get into the Amazon thing. My thing just froze up, so bear with me for just one moment. This FDA confirms Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is safe and effective. That's good. Israel reopens further with what they call a green pass for those who have been vaccinated. See, you're going to have to everybody's going to be doing this. You're going to start seeing the vaccine, like the pass, like the vaccine, you know, kind of, you know, your ticket to travel. Saudi women can join the military in the latest widening of rights. And coming up, Democrats, censorship.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Now let me give in a plug. My state, Louisiana, our teachers, our officials, our parents have done a great job. 70% of our kids are participating in in-person learning. But that number nationwide is 40%.
Wait for it.
And President Biden has I've used this expression before, but I can't think of a better one. He's flip-flopped on this issue like a bank catfish.
Can we just get, like, a supercut of John Kennedy? He just flip-flopped like a bank catfish. Banked catfish. I am going to use that forever. Forever and ever. Gosh. And it's his accent and his tonality that sells it. I mean, you know he's the person who would deliver the tea. He's the one that you would want to sit next to at any meal because it is tea time. Woo! Welcome back to the show, everybody. Dana Lash, danalash.com. And, ooh, Democrats targeting cable news. I don't know why. I thought that Trump was the fascist Nazi whatever. Right? Or no?
No.
All right, well, still though. So this has been, let me pull the story up. Lawmakers have been asking cable providers, like, why are you allowing these people to say things that we don't like? And it's this has been an ongoing kind of situation. These were the people who would label any kind of criticism of biased and just absolute outright lies printed as an attack on the free press. But this, so you had Democrats, now they're sending letters to presidents of Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, Cox, Dish, and other cable and satellite companies telling them, stop carrying Fox, stop carrying One American News, stop carrying Newsmax, or you need to tell these people to change their coverage. What? Yeah, so it was released. There's a House Committee on Energy and Commerce. They've been having it today. It's called Disinformation and Extremism in the Media. And apparently Soledad O'Brien, who's like one of the biggest purveyors of disinformation, and she just exists to lie about people online. She apparently was going along with this as well. There are a lot of people are like, who? She was big 10 years ago, kind of. Disinformation and extremism in media. And they were asking the companies to explain the moral and ethical principles that undergird their decision making via New York Times and Reason. Explain this with respect to how many channels, which channels are carried, how many viewers watch these, What steps are taken to reduce the spread of disinformation? This is how they're going to curb speech. You need to reduce reduce any kind of disinformation. Well, that's a funny thing, because disinformation has been defined as anything with which people on the left disagree with. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have said factually based, looking at raw data that is available on, this was even under Barack Obama, under Obama administration, whether it's FBI data, Bureau of BJS statistics, and people would say that's disinformation just simply because they didn't like it. When words, this is why I keep hammering the whole thing that words have meanings. When people are trying to redefine things and rewrite the language a la George Orwell, the revolution is complete when the language is perfect, then you can implement legal measures based on the new definition of these words. So disinformation it's just things that we dislike. Like, there are people who are being removed off of social media platforms for discussing the existence of voter fraud. And there's a massive difference. I'm someone who lives on evidence. I know that there is voter fraud. Whether it's widespread enough to affect an election, the outcome of an entire decentralized election, is another issue. But voter fraud, instances of it, I know exist, because I have had someone fraudulently registered at my home address and they voted. And I'm having to wrangle to get that undone. So I know it exists. There have been people who have been arrested and convicted on it. So that aspect is not up for discussion, nor, because of the hard evidence, is it disinformation. But yet, under the argument of disinformation, people are being, their ability to participate in public discussion is being suspended because they are acknowledging the existence of these, backed by evidence, occurrences. But it's called disinformation because it is a challenge to the narrative. And that's the formula. Anything that challenges or disrupts the narrative must itself be toxified and rendered benign. So if you classify something as disinformation, then without any argument, which is what's happening here, you can just shut it down. And that's what they've been doing this. I know it's very ironic. That's what they've been doing with this. It's very ironic considering that, you know, you have the people who've been pushing the Russia hoax thing. I had people telling me that I knew Russian people. I've never met a Russian person in my life. Well, I mean, like, you know, in this thing, I knew somebody from Latvia. Because everyone was like, you know, Maria Butina. And I'm like, I've never even heard of this person until this happened. And everyone's like, Mueller's coming. I still have people going, why aren't you arrested? And I'm like, for what? Why? I had blue checks asking me that. Journalists, like, why haven't you been arrested? I'm like, for what? So disinformation, right? That was never disinformation. So what they want to do is they want to say that they want to push these businesses, and this is how they're doing it. You can sit here and say that, oh, well, no, this is private business making these decisions. Is it still private business making these decisions when they're going to Congress and they're talking, testifying during hearings to members of Congress, and members of Congress are lobbying them to change their business practices? Because they've done this with Facebook and Twitter. So that's why a lot of the arguments about, well, this is a small, these are private businesses making decisions. They actually didn't make these decisions by themselves. They were pressed upon by many in media, and they were severely prevailed upon by a lot of Democrats in Congress. So that's not necessarily a genuine argument, nor is it legitimate. Now, they also sent this letter to Roku, Amazon, Apple, Google, and Hulu via New York Times. They say that these false claims appear frequently on conservative news channels. Now, I don't know why the federal government has to involve itself. because we have a legal pathway to remedy these situations already. If there is disinformation that is damaging, we have the litigation pathway. This is where we get into how some speech is protected against liability and some speech is not. So this is where you get the misnomer of free speech. Free speech meaning that you are protected from any and all liability as a consequence of engaging in free speech. I mean, people can try to, you know, litigate it, but, you know, it's very difficult, actually. Those are some of the most difficult cases to pursue. And for a reason, because the measure is high, the standard of measure is high, so as to protect speech. And so disinformation, if it is something that is slander, if it is libel, if it is defamation, etc., there are pathways and legal remedies to this. You can go through the courts. You can file a suit. There is no reason for the federal government to get involved in this issue. But politicians, these people who are in D.C., they themselves want to be able to determine the boundaries for what is and what isn't acceptable. They want to make the, they want to be the ones in charge of defining what is or is not disinformation. I mean, this, it's not Congress. Congress doesn't have the right to choose what distributor carries what channel. But they want to, and they're going to intensify the pressure on this. Make no mistake. Politico has a piece this morning about the censorship debate in their House hearing. Because, listen, I want you to listen to the sentence. Listen to this BS. This made me so angry this morning. It said, today's House hearing on disinformation and extremism in the media could be sidetracked by GOP allegations that Democrats on the panel are angling to censor right-leaning news networks. Oh, it could be sidetracked. We're now in the they pounce kind of section of it all. Could be sidetracked. I mean, this they said that the letter was an affront to the First Amendment, Media Institute President Richard Kapler. They said that top GOP lawmakers were quick to express dismay. Steve Scalise says this is what you'd see in the Soviet Union. They said that the way that they are spinning this and the presenting this is like really is kind of crazy. Yeah, it's like wicked crazy. So apparently there's going to, I guess we're gonna see some decisions from this and how and also with Facebook, because they had the Facebook Oversight Board. They said that they received, there's a apparently a pending case as to whether or not they're gonna allow Trump back on their platform, and apparently that's gonna be in April, and I don't know what's gonna come from this decision. But the thing is that if these individuals were interested in disinformation, it would be equally applied. This is why I keep saying consistency, 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 because the strength of a measure, the strength of a rule, the strength of a law comes from, in part, its consistency, whether it's consistently applied or whether it's situationally applied based on political leanings, in which case that's not so much a law as it is a tool. And that's the promotion of one group over another in the face of law, which is unconstitutional. I'm telling you, the war on speech is here. And you cannot, I don't care what side of the aisle you are on, you cannot see this stuff and think, okay, this, I mean, they're actually pushing censorship, and not think that. You can't, because that's what this is. I am against anybody getting involved and telling these individuals who they can carry and who they can't carry. They want to make money. They want to make money. But at the same time, it's disingenuous to say that, well, they're private businesses and they can make their decisions themselves. But they're not making them themselves. Do you not see? And this is just what we see publicly. Let's not pretend that there's not some dirty dealing and threats and bullying tactics that go on away from the cameras and away from the rooms where the hearings are held in. Why is the State of the Union delayed? Where's it at?
That's a good question.
Wasn't it supposed to be now? Because I remember writing in the newsletter that it was going to be around like February 23rd or whatever. When is it? Wasn't it originally scheduled to be on yesterday? Let me look at my, because I'm pretty sure, bear with me, I'm pretty sure that it was going to be on the 23rd.
It was.
Or that's what they had scheduled. Okay, so here I'm looking at my my newsletter, and yeah, it was tentatively scheduled on the 23rd. So where is it? Have we heard anything about it? Do we know?
I see a 3-minute video with Biden as the thumbnail on the 2021 State of the Union special from, I guess this is some other news outlet. But
I'm literally not seeing anything, and
yeah,
I'm searching.
Me neither. This is all I have.
State of the Union 2021.
I guess he has nothing good to report.
When are we having this? I'm curious. I mean, I don't see anything. That's interesting. We have today in stupidity still. I'm very curious. Has anyone asked Jen Psaki about that? I'm just curious about it.
Want a deeper dive into the Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Why in the world is Daisy Ridley talking about Ted Cruz in Cancun? I mean, that's like something that apparently, like, she had made a quip about it. You're from Britain, and have you ever even been to Texas? Just asking as someone. Stop appropriating our struggle for your political jab. Stop it. Can we talk about this UFO thing? Play this right now. It's the American Airlines. Some pilot saw, like, just saying, an unidentified.
Targets up here. We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
Ooh. Well, I really hope that they're out there, and I hope they come and say, if you say hi and you're friendly, like, bring me some Milk Duds so I know that you're legit. You know? Like, do a reverse ET with me. And then I'll be like, oh, they're here, like, for their friends.
You think it'd be Reese's Pieces or something.
No. It's Milk Duds, man. Duddage. Gotta have that Duddage. I've got 3 boxes left, and I'm hoarding them right now. Duddage. It's crazy. All right, today in stupidity.
All right, it's Joyless Behar.
Golly, you love going to her.
I do love going to Joyless Behar. There's a lot of stupidity that comes from her mouth, but which is weird, because I really liked her as a comedian back in the day. She's just not funny anymore. She's just hateful harpy now. So, cut 12, this is her talking about her not being able to wait until Merrick Garland somehow prosecutes Josh Hawley.
And how, Sonny, how fun was it to watch Josh Hawley, who had his fist up at the Capitol as part of the insurrection, questioning Merrick Garland, and Merrick Garland could be indicting him pretty soon. That I can't wait to see.
Well, you'll be waiting your entire life, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Him waving at people that are peacefully protesting is
We wanted to ask him about it, but his people won't let him come back on the show for some reason.
We'll keep working on it.
We don't know why, Senator Hawley. You need to talk to people in your office. because a lot of people in Missouri are listening. All right, folks, danalash.com. Subscribe to that newsletter. I'll be on Fox tonight. I'll put that in the newsletter as well. So I tune in. It'll be on Hannity. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.